I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, high school sports fans and whoever else might be listening. This is Prep Rally, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, talking about, of course, high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. And I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined as always, or usually joined by, and we are today, by Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan.
Howdy.
How's it going, fellas? Howdy. Busy week, huh?
Yeah, and it's going to get busier this week and next week and the week after that. That's what we do.
It's January, and, you know, football season is busy, but the thing about this time of year is there's more than just one thing going on, and it's going on just about every day of the week.
Yeah,
We had soccer last night, and there were some soccer games Monday. You got basketball 2 or 3 days a week. Yeah. I mean, it's...
You're trying to wrap your head around it. Your basketball's going down, as you know, to the finish line. Yep. As far as the regular season, really, I was talking to Blake the other day, not that these games aren't important, the last couple of weeks of the season, quote, division games.
Yeah.
What matters is that division tournament. That one determines whether you keep playing.
Exactly.
Now we've got soccer, 2 weeks of playoffs and state championships. We've got bowling coming up in February.
Wow.
And state bowling. And there's a lot going on with the soccer and the basketball division tournaments in North State, as North State is nowadays. It's crazy.
Yeah, we got plenty to talk about then. We got some hoops to talk about. We got some soccer to talk about. We'll have athletes of the week at the end of the program, as we always do. Just want to remind you, there's a variety of ways to catch this podcast. Of course, we're in iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Just hit the subscribe button, and you'll get notified every time we have a new episode. Again, they come to you every Wednesday. Also, you can stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And hey, we're on Twitter at DJournal Preps. Okay, let's start by looking back at the past week in basketball, kind of review some of the big games and some games you guys covered. Let's go back to Friday, first of all. Blake, you got to go see Saltillo take on Oxford, a big Division II 5A game. We've talked about Jarkel Joyner a lot, the star for Oxford who can light it up, which I guess he did the other night, but Saltillo ended up with the win, and Julian Warren, he's really, as we've talked about before, the point guard coming back from injury made a huge difference for the Tigers.
Yeah, he's just really been a difference maker. And I feel almost like we're kind of like a broken record here because we keep saying that, but I mean, it just keeps proving to be true. He came back 10 games ago, and they are 10-0.
Wow.
In the games. They have not lost. This was one of their closest ones, and I mean, you know, Warren was tasked with having to guard Jarkel Joyner most of the game. Joyner went off. I mean, he had 44 points, had a really good game.
Yeah.
But I just watching it, if you weren't keeping up with, like, and of course I was keeping up with Joyner's points throughout the game. But if you weren't keeping up with him, you'd think, wow, Joyner kind of struggling. He took a lot of shots, and none of them were easy. I mean, for someone to score 44 points and no basket come easy, kind of talks to how good Joyner is, but also to how good Saltillo's defense has been playing, and then also just how they shut down everyone else. And that's what Drew Tyler talked to, Oxford's head coach, talked to me about after the game, was – about how, you know, he said, we have two senior guards and Jarkel Joyner and Terry Williams, and we need them both to step up. And they just didn't today. And, you know, and of course he felt like they would step up going forward. But Saltillo did a really good job of taking Oxford out of everything they wanted to do.
Yeah, the final was 74-71. Julian Warren had 25 points and had a couple of buckets late, had a three-point play that broke a 61-61 tie, and they never relinquished that lead. So came up big in the clutch. I mean, what's this guy? I mean, he brings the scoring to the table, but he brings more than that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just kind of, you know, every time you talk to Craig Lauderdale, the coach, and I talked to him this morning too about it, he just says how it just calms everyone down when he's on the floor.
Yeah.
And, because everyone just kind of trusts that he'll make the right play.
Right.
You know, if the right play is Warren streaking to the basket, scoring, and one to take the lead, Everyone trusts he will make that play. If it's finding a Humphrey under the basket, everyone trusts Warren will make that play.
Right.
And, you know, it because – you know, you want something like, I don't know, flashy or something that I did. Like, you know, what does Warren do, like, so great? And, you know, a lot of times he just kind of owns the game.
It's pretty simple, huh?
Yeah, right. You know, and it's not just one thing. But, yeah, I mean, he just controls the game, which is what you want from a point guard.
And you're working on a story on Saltillo for later in the week, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're leading the division now, so this is a team to keep an eye on in 5A.
Yeah, you know, Lauderdale, he said today that they've gone through World War One. Beating New Hope, West Point, and Oxford. And he said World War II starts Friday night, and they have New Hope at home.
And New Hope and West Point have some good players there as well, so certainly not an easy division. So talking girls now, Gene, again, going back to last Friday, reviewing the game that you covered, Belmont and Newsite, good little 1-3A matchup right there, and Belmont pulls it out 53-49, Gene, and just one of those good Hill Country girls basketball games.
It was a close game the entire way. Newsite did a good job taking Belmont's point guard, Sarah Berryman, kind of out of the game. They made sure they had people on her every time she touched the ball. They tried to limit her bringing it down the court. Of course, that backfired late in the game because they had to wind up fouling Berryman because they made sure she got the ball and was fouled, and she hit 9 of 10 free throws down the stretch. It wound up being the difference in a 4-point game.
Wow.
But, you know, you're talking about 1-3A. Tomorrow night, Boonville plays at Belmont.
Thursday night.
Yes, tomorrow night, Thursday night.
It's always a good game.
Boonville plays at Belmont. So that's a really good division, especially those three teams.
Yeah, and you've got a story coming on the Belmont coach, Chris Higginbottom. Recently hit 300 career wins.
Chris is in his 12th year. Yep. This is the only place he's ever coached other than, I believe, he coached Burnsville Middle School basketball. Yeah. He started off there. He came to Belmont to be a softball coach. Malcolm Kirkendall was principal at the time. Malcolm had won 6 state championships, I believe, and I might be wrong. And he hired – he had seen Chris's success on the middle school level and as a coach, and he liked how he handled his players in softball. And so he gave him the opportunity, and it's he's now won 300 games. His record's like 301-88 now.
That's pretty good.
And he – and he's won 3 state championships.
Wow. Yeah.
So I said, keep going. They may have to put they named the gym after Coach Kirkendall. They may have to put / Higginbottom, you know.
At some point, they have to name something after him.
But Chris has done a really good job there reviving that program that's known for its girls basketball.
Yeah. Another thing you covered over the weekend, Saturday you went down and covered the Mid-Mississippi Challenge and had a lot of area teams in there. I just want to kind of focus in on Ingomar. They played Choctaw Central, always a good team. Choctaw won the game. So Ingomar loses the game, but the bigger deal is they lost Mallory Russell, their big post player, 6-foot post player, was a big key to last year's state championship run in 2A.
Yeah.
And what's the update on her?
Yeah, well, Mallory was in a collision against Choctaw Central's big girl on a layup, and she went down pretty hard. And Mallory had an ACL surgery on her knee in the 8th grade. She wears a brace on her right knee. And she tore her ACL in her left knee. On Saturday. I found that information out yesterday. I didn't really want to tweet it out. You know, we're talking about high school kids. I mean, I'm going to write some of the information in something in the paper, but it's just that's tough enough. I mean, for her, she's such an impact player for that team, and to have to go through another knee surgery and probably 8-9 months of rehab. You know, you just hate that for her.
Yeah,
She was, you could tell she knew something was wrong. I spoke with her. She went down 2 flights of stairs to the dressing room in the basement of that gym on those crutches. Jeez. I was going like, oh my goodness. I said, are you okay? And she says, I'll be fine.
She's got another year. Hopefully she'll be ready by next season.
Yeah. And, of course, Ingomar, you know, this is secondary. They're going to have to find somebody to put in the middle. I would think that Lauren Thompson, who's kind of a perimeter player, kind of a guard / forward, has the size, not necessarily the height, but she can get in there, I think, and do probably what they need to do on the inside. It looks like that's their only option. I'm not Trent Adair. I'm not the coach. I think they have an eighth grade girl that they're planning on filling that role one of these days. I don't know if they'll go with her. I mean, Ingmar's been playing seventh and eighth graders and having success the last couple of years. So.
Exactly.
So who knows? It'll be interesting to see what avenue they take now that that Mallory's out. And that was a tough injury.
Yeah, well, I hope she recovers well from that. Some other notable results from the past few days, just real quick. Ingmar boys defeated Biggersville on Monday, 71-70, a tight one there. Last night, again, you guys were out at soccer, so y'all didn't get to cover hoops last night, but a couple of scores from last night. Tupelo's boys defeated Columbus on the road, 73-56. They improved to 4-0 in the division. Jalen Copeland had 16 points. Nick Ratliff had 15. Tupelo girls, however, lost 53-49.
That's not surprising. I've seen Tupelo, and Tupelo's good. They're our number one ranked team in our little journal rankings that we put out every week. But I saw Columbus down in the Mid-Mississippi Challenge.
And they've
got a lot of size.
Yeah.
And size and bulk and athleticism. And so they certainly matched up with Tupelo. Probably didn't match up with their size.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, another game from Tuesday night. Boys, Nettleton defeats Moorville 58-56. Sean Pounds had 17 points. Big division win there for Nettleton's boys. Talking more basketball, let's look ahead a little bit to what's coming up. We've got two big tournaments this weekend. These are annual deals, two of the biggest events basketball-wise in the area. We've got the Hotbed Classic coming up Saturday at New Albany, of course. And, Blake, they've got a full field. They're going to try to squeeze in an extra game or two than normal, aren't they? 11 games.
Never tried to do that many before.
Starting at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, nine maybe.
Is 8:30. It? No, it's 8:30.
It's 8:30.
It's 8:30. Yeah. Myrtle and East Union at 8:30.
Yeah, so I mean, who knows how that goes? I remember I was talking to people at the Union County tournament, 2 weeks ago now, and they were like, "Yeah, I mean, you know, they say the last game will start at like 8:30 at night, but it's usually not till 11." So now they're squeezing in an extra game, so we'll see how that goes.
They'll be playing till 3 a.m. at this rate. This event, of course, is known for obviously having local teams. They do bring in a lot of teams from out of state. So who are some of the notable teams that people might want to come see?
So, well, local teams, let's start with them, and then we'll get in some out-of-area teams. Myrtle versus East Union, that should be a good game. Ty McDonald, East Union, a really good player who's, he makes East Union go. And he's just a solid guy. Later in the day, Ashland plays Lausanne, Tennessee, which is Marc Gasol's alma mater.
Who's?
Marc Gasol, the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. From Lausanne. Now, they don't have any future NBA players on that team at Lausanne. But,
He's a Yankee. Right. He's from Germantown, Tennessee.
But Ashland's got D'Anthony Tipler, who really good player and has kind of found another notch up this season. He's playing really well. After them, Pontotoc, you got Ty Jones, really great player. He's liable to go off for 50 points. You never really know what he'll do. Later in the day, Oxford's going. Jarkel Joyner, talk about a guy going off with points. Last time he played in a tournament like this was Tingle on the Trail. He had 52, career high. So after that, Baldwin versus Velma Jackson. One of the best players in the state, Nick Witherspoon, coming up and playing. So, that's a draw as well as Baldwin has really good defense trying to shut him down. And that's some of the top area teams. Southwest Christian Arkansas is coming down. Supposedly, they're one of the best academy teams in the country.
Okay.
Who knows? They're like 20-0, 21-0 or something. So they're supposed to be a really good team. And, Cordova, Tennessee, they have some sophomores and juniors that will probably be playing for the University of Memphis in a few years. So, you got D1 talent all up and down
no doubt.
Slate.
Yeah, no doubt. So that starts at 8:30 at New Albany. Robertson Sportswear Lady Challenge. This is an all-girls thing taking place at Boonville High School, Gene. This one starts early as well, 9 a.m. How many games? 10? Is that right?
10 games.
10 games. Yeah. Mostly local teams, but you do have some teams from just out of state, don't we?
We do, and that's kind of what Daryl likes to do is go out and find, I guess, kind of similar to the Hotbed and the Lighthouse. He wants to go out and bring in some out-of-state teams that have some players that are being nationally recruited and bring them in. This year he's got Riverdale from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Riverdale's ranked number 4 in the country by Max Preps.
Hmm.
And has a team. I don't have that information right here in front of me. It will certainly be in an article in a paper that's running this week. Got some girls who are being nationally recruited, and we're talking about South Carolina, Tennessee, Ohio State.
Yeah.
So that Riverdale lineup is loaded. He's got them playing against Hoover, Alabama. Hoover's, I believe, ranked number 7 in Alabama in its classification, which I think is the largest classification in Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
Which might be 7A now. He's also got a Hamilton Heights, Tennessee. I was looking through Max Preps the other night. Daryl said they were ranked number 10 in the country. They're ranked number 8 now. I don't know how often Max Preps does its rankings, but
right.
Hamilton Heights is another one of those teams that everybody on the team's being recruited.
Yeah.
I believe they've even got some players who have already signed. And he's got them playing Choctaw Central. And Choctaw Central is really good.
Runner-up in 3A last year.
Yes, and they're the team that beat Ingemar the other night. And
right.
That was the game that Mallory Russell got hurt. The other matchups, I think a good one locally is Tupelo High, even though they lost the other night. Tupelo still got 16-17 wins. They'll be playing Lafayette, and Lafayette lost the other night. So Lafayette's now got 2 losses, but you still got 2 teams with about 17 wins apiece and are having great seasons.
Yes.
So that's a great local matchup for fans that want to just see Northeast Mississippi teams play each other. Belmont is in this tournament, and they play Holmes County. Holmes County was a team that lost a new site down in the Mid-Mississippi Challenge, and
yep.
They're a big physical team. It'll be a challenge for Belmont. But Higginbottom told me earlier this week he likes playing in these kind of tournaments. Helps you kind of get you ready for what you might face in the postseason.
Right.
You've got the usual area matchups. You got Walnut playing Tremont at 9 in the morning. I don't think I'll be there for that one. East Union and Alcorn Central, and West Union and Cassous. Cassous had a good season.
Yeah.
West Union's got one really good player, that Kylie Massengale, just a great all-around athlete.
Yeah.
Won state cross-country last year. And this year she didn't run because she was kind of like, oh, I've already won state. So
now,
concentrate on basketball.
What else is there to do?
What's next? anyway, in Red Bay, Alabama.
Always good.
They're playing Marshall Academy, so that'll be kind of an interesting matchup. Donnie Roberts over there in Red Bay, a Tremont native.
Okay.
And Donnie's teams are always competitive. And so good lineup over there in Boonville.
The nightcap, Boonville taking on Murrah.
Yep, almost overlooked that. Murrah's a 6A power.
Yep.
And Michael Smith wants to play those kind of teams. He'd rather have losses along the way, and he should. I was telling you about that Boonville-Belmont game. Boonville-Belmont game, unless something's happened, or the Boonville-Murrah game, Shamia Williams will be returning the injured guard that Boonville had. So that will give Boonville all their players back, essentially, from last season.
Yeah.
Of course, she's coming off a knee injury in scope surgery. She had meniscus tears.
Right.
And originally I thought it was worse, but it was meniscus. And I talked with her a couple of weeks ago. And she said, I'll be ready to go. I just got to be cleared by the doctor. So, other than maybe being in basketball shape
and
getting used to the flow of the game and stuff, that gives him another left-hander, which makes Boonville very hard to defend.
Indeed. Let's talk soccer real quick before we get done here. You guys, like I said, were both out on the pitch last night. The first round of the state playoffs began this week. Had a few games Monday. Tupelo played last night, Blake. Boys and girls both are at home, and they end up both winning. A little bit of excitement there in the boys' game, more so than the girls.
Yeah, absolutely. The girls was the first half. Both games were 0-0 at halftime. But you knew just watching the girls' game against South Haven, you're like, Tupelo girls is better. They had, like, at halftime, like, 15 shots to two South Haven shots. So
yeah.
You knew, and I talked to Hannah Kimbrough, the coach, after, you know, I was like, eventually you had to expect some of these shots were going to fall. And she said, yeah, one finally did, and then we scored two, like, right after, and they won 3-1 over South Haven. The Tupelo Horn Lake boys game, that was a little different. You know, at halftime, the shot disparity was like 8-0. Tupelo had 8 shots. Horn Lake had 0. Horn Lake had no desire to possess the ball at all. The second it came in contact with them, they were just booting it down the field.
Really?
Yeah, they did not worry about counterattacks. They did not worry about setting up offensive possessions.
No, you got to score to win.
I guess the idea was, you know, if we just keep kicking it down the field, maybe our one forward that was back would just break free and get lucky on a one-on-one, or
not,
you know,
let them score and take our look.
Exactly. We're going to try to
take our luck on PKs.
Yeah, that was their entire thing. And then, you know, in the last minute or so, you know, because in stoppage time, the referees keep the official time in soccer, you know, at the very end, it's 0-0, and, you know, I'm talking to people in press boxes, and they're like, golly, I mean, this might go poorly, you know, if it has to go into added time and then PKs. And finally, Clayton O'Daniel sprung free on one-on-one to the goal. The goalie came out and tried to go after the ball and hit O'Daniel, who... They set him up with a place kick right outside the box. The goalie got a yellow card, so he had to come out.
Really?
And brand new goalie in.
Okay, so brand new goalie had to come
in. Yeah, brand new goalie comes in with a minute left in the game.
Boy, that's a thankless position to be in.
I know, right? And then, you know, so I'm thinking O'Daniel's going to go right at the goal, you know, and the Horn Lake sets up the wall.
Yeah.
And instead, O'Daniel kicks it into a scrum of people, you know, I guess hopefully trying to get a ricochet off or something, and kicks it right at a Horn Lake kid who just had his hand up and gets a handball in the box, which means you get a PK.
Oh.
So Tupelo gets a PK, and because it was a continuation of the play before, the regular goalie couldn't come in.
Wow.
So it was the backup goalie versus Clayton O'Neill, or O'Daniel, sorry. O'Daniel on a PK with like a minute left in the game and drained it.
Nice. So Tupelo moves on, boys and girls, both to the next round. Junior out at Morville. The Morville girls took on North Pontotoc. Handled things pretty well. They got a young team there, huh?
Yeah, they do, and they don't have any O'Neills in their lineup. Oh, excuse me, O'Daniel. O'Daniel. No, I'm going to tell you, young, the first half of this game was 0-0. North Pontotoc sold out on defense and really did a great job. I mean, great job.
Yeah.
And second half, I think maybe a little bit of fatigue set in or something. I don't know, but two seventh graders, 1 4'6", Molly Parham.
Mm-hmm.
She had an assist on a goal. Boom, they scored. And about 3 minutes later, they scored again, and it was 2-0, and it was over. But that team, the players that scored the other night and had a key assist were 2 7th graders, then an 8th grader.
Wow.
Had a score on a ricochet, and then a freshman closed out the score. And so that Morville team's now 17-1. We'll play Choctaw Central or Pelahatchie. Those teams play tonight.
Yeah.
And I think they'll have to travel there. And Choctaw Central's been good the last couple of years, so it'll be interesting to see.
And who's Tupelo get, Blake?
They have the boys play Clinton down in Clinton, and the girls play Madison Central down in Madison.
The team that's put them out the last two seasons.
Yeah, those are two really good matchups, and they play each other often in the postseason.
They play Saturday.
Second round is Saturday. That's right. Okay, let's do Athletes of the Week before we get out of here. We do this every week, recognizing a male and female athlete for their accomplishments in their sport of choice. So let's go first with Female Athlete of the Week. Gene?
Well, we're going to keep a Belmont theme going here.
There we go.
We talked about Higginbottom. His post player, Claire Maroon, had a double-double last week in a win against Neusite. She scored 22 points, had 13 rebounds. And then last night against Red Bay, She scored 23 points, was the leading scorer. Wow. I don't know her rebound total, but that's two pretty good back-to-back games against really good opponents.
Yeah,
so Claire Maroon.
Isn't that the second time she's been our Athlete of the Week?
I think so. Well, she's been a really steady player. I know earlier this year, he told me, I was talking to Claire when I did the big girl story. They went and played in some tournament over in Alabama, and four consecutive games, she had like 21, 22, yeah, 22, and 23.
Yeah.
So she's having a great year.
Indeed. Male Athlete of the Week, who we got there?
Clayton O'Daniel.
You got it right that time.
Yeah, I got it right. What I just talked about, I mean, getting the game-winning goal late in the last minute.
Yep.
Can't really beat that. He also had a goal last week in a 9-0 victory over Columbus.
Okay, he's a junior forward there for Tupelo, and had that big goal against Horn Lake Tuesday night in stoppage time in the 6A playoffs. That does it for this edition of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, we come to you every Wednesday talking high school sports, myself, along with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. You can listen in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Also, we're on Twitter at DJournalPrep. So we'll be back next Wednesday to talk more hoopage and soccer and whatever else transpires over the next few days. Until then, hope you all have a good week. See you next time.